Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want to be a fighter? That's the question. It's not about cutting weight. It's not about living in a house. It's about, do you want to be a fighter? Anybody who says they don't, I don't want you here. And I'll throw you the out of this gym so fast your head will spin. Cool?
I feel like I'm on the next level. I want to go get that gold, whoever it is. Mom champ, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, your winner, the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I have Michelle Waterson on today, and Dana White finally coming back on. He's been very busy. It's fight week. How good does it feel to say it's fight week? I mean, I literally was looking forward to Monday. I was like, fuck the weekend. I just wanted to talk about fight week.
It's something we haven't said in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and I am so excited about it. I'm excited about the card. I'm excited about a lot of times I'm excited about like a fight or two. That's not true. I like a lot of fights, but this card in particular is just insane. So everything from the early prelims with Bryce Mitchell versus Charles Rosa, right, all the way through to the main event, I'm psyched, dude.
It's been, I think, March 14th with you. It was UFC in Brasilia. I mean, so by the time we see this, it will literally be almost 2 months without fresh fights. We got teased with April 18th, but now this is a reality, and it just feels so good. It feels so good to have these fights this Saturday, less than a week away. Like, next Monday, we'll be talking about the fights.
Has Saturdays been feeling like Saturdays to you? What's the days been feeling like, Jimmy? Groundhog Day? Is every day the same? Tell me.
It feels very, very weird, man, because, again, without the fights, without that to talk about, without, hey, we got so-and-so coming up. Well, let's talk about how the fight went, whether they won or they lost or anything like that. It has really been it just kind of throws you off, you know? It throws you off. Like, the weekends, I don't have that to look forward to. There was at least two a month to really get geared up for. And now we got Overeem and Walt Harris is rebooked. So there's other stuff rebooked. They're still working on Fight Island. So there's a lot of good stuff happening.
Listen, just the fact that we got the song Fight Island from Brett Okamoto is, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want it to happen, and it's going to happen. I feel very confident. You know, hopefully, you know, Dana will tell us the latest on Fight Island, you know?
How great is it that they got, he's saying about a month, it's going to be ready. How great is it that Jacksonville, Florida, I'm so happy Florida stepped up, because now we don't have to wait. We never would have gotten this car. We would have had to wait for a month to get Fight Island up and going.
So there's no audience at all. It's one of those just closed.
No crowd.
Yeah. I don't mind that. You know what it's good? It almost is like the old Pride days. Because in Japan, you could hear a pin drop. So, you know, when you're watching it, it's different, but the same. I don't know. But it's very, like, I don't know. Have you ever seen the old Pride fights? You know,
yes. What? Yeah, and you're right about Japan, too, about being quieter fans, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you don't even know the audience is there, you know, where the UFC is pretty loud, you know? It doesn't matter, man. I just want to see these fights. I'm so excited. I don't, audience, no audience, you know, it's going to be nice.
Rock bands, rock bands said, like Black Sabbath and Kiss and all those bands, that the first time they worked Japan, they think the crowd hates them. They're like, what the fuck? These people are silent. Like, just culturally, Japanese people are more polite and they're quieter, so they'll watch shows quietly, but they're loving them. But you think, like, shit, they're not enjoying this.
It's not going to be, you know, you're not going to not appreciate it as you're going to still appreciate the action and what you're watching with or without. You'll be yelling at home. You know what I mean? I don't know. I get caught up in it, man.
Dude, I didn't care at all about the fans not being there.
You know what? I had my and we're going to talk to Michelle Waterson in a couple minutes.
Michelle Waterson, yeah.
You know what I had? You know what I've been watching with my kids? A lot of like old 80s and 90s movies. You know what I watched? Now, this one is under the radar. I don't think you've seen this one, Jimmy.
Okay.
All right? It's from, I think, 1996.
Who's in it?
And it's Michael J. Fox.
Doc Hollywood?
It's not a... No, I'm not watching that shit.
That was good.
Doc Hollywood?
I loved it.
What is he running around getting laid, Michael J. Fox?
No. He plays a doctor who winds up in a small town waiting to get his car fixed. It was really good.
Oh, it's not like, I thought it was like is it like a romantic comedy?
Kind of, yeah, Michael J. Fox. It's very good.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's not it.
Let's see, Michael J. Fox. Not Teen Wolf. That was in the 80s.
Come on, Jimmy. This
is not the radar. Future.
Jimmy, I would not insult you like that. I would not have you play this game if it was Back to the Future. And yes, it is an Avengers mug. It's my kids.
Does he play a nephew with Kirk Douglas as his rich uncle or grandfather?
Absolutely not. I never made it through that movie.
Green. I hated that too. Ra-cha-cha. That's stuck.
How about this? I couldn't even get through it. I remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. Let me think, Matt. Let me just give me a second.
I'm giving you a second, but listen, who else was in it? Okay. Who had a part in it? Not a huge part, but a small part was the guy from Full Metal Jacket, the machine, the Marine who's like, who's the drill sergeant?
That was Arlie Ermey. He's dead now, but yeah, he was
great and everything, but he was in it. I'm telling you, Jimmy, I'm fairly sure you're not going to get this.
Let me think.
I got you. I fucking got you. Wait, hold on. Stop it. What are you doing?
I'm thinking.
No, you're not thinking. You're going on the Googling it.
No.
You're tapping out. Are you tapping out? We got a couple of minutes before Michelle Waterson calls in. I don't care. You can run the clock out, or you could just admit that you don't remember.
I mean, Mars Attacks I liked.
What? What the fuck that is?
I give up. What is it? It's not the Frighteners.
Yes, Jimmy!
That's the first thing I said that before.
You did not say shit.
No, I didn't. I just looked it up on IMDb.
Did you ever see it?
No, I don't think I did. Is it a horror movie or?
It's a horror movie that you can watch with your kids too. That's weird for you because that sounds lame. It's not like Ghost Dad.
Jake Busey's in it.
So it's like it's spooky enough for the kids, but it's cool enough for the adults where it has some cool music. You know that song like what is it with the Grim the Reaper? What is? I don't know why I'm doing this because she did this the thing.
I know your arms are wide out.
Reaper. It's Don't Fear the Reaper. What is it?
Don't Fear the Reaper. Yeah.
Is that it? That's at the end of it. Anyway, but it's almost like a combination of Ghostbusters and he's what else could it be? Well, it's kind of like Ghostbusters, but he's like a con man that he kind of works with the ghosts and then there's like this evil thing that's killing the ghosts, even though it's hard to kill a ghost, but I guess you do.
Comedy?
It's a little funny, but it's funny a little bit. It's like a Michael J. Fox type movie, but it got under the radar. Robert Zemeckis directed it.
Robert Zemeckis, yeah, sure. He did a movie called Used Cars, which was very funny.
He also did Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you go. So if you want to watch something with the kids, listen, our audience is huge. It's not just
for
millennials.
The people who enjoy all forms of entertainment.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A.,
a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, how's it going? What's up? What's up?
Hi, Michelle.
Ah, you got your daughter there.
You guys see what's waiting for me after the fight?
Oh, a party. A party's waiting for you. Hi.
Yay.
I feel like getting my daughters in to say hello. They're downstairs. It's so cute.
It's like anytime I have like an interview or something, she has a question to ask me. But when I'm just by myself, she doesn't want to talk to me.
She likes the cameras.
Michelle, let me ask you, with the quarantine, how great is it? Are you a homebody as it is or no? How great is it with the family time now?
You know, I look at the situation as always a glass half full. I think that it's a great opportunity to, like, and a teaching point for my daughter to be more self-sufficient, to be an independent thinker, and to be more responsible for her own duties. So it's a bit of an adjustment having to do some homeschooling with her and try to figure out how to organize the homeschooling with the training. But what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so we just push on and we grow from this.
That's the biggest thing is that, this not the biggest thing, obviously, but I mean, people dying, but the homeschooling is brutal. Cause I feel your pain. I feel your pain because I guarantee that your hubby's way better than me. Because my wife's, I have 3 kids. So my wife's sitting there juggling that and it's brutal, man. No, you're not getting paid for that.
It is. And the thing is like, you know, that's not the hat that we normally wear. And that's not the hat that our children see us in. We're not teachers. And so when I'm trying to teach her this thing and she's like, well, that's not how my teacher does it. And I'm just like,
oh, no, you got.
Yeah.
I relate. You got to see my wife. Or if they start whining, she'll be like, oh, you're doing that in school? You're not doing that in school. That was crazy, right? You know, this is school now. You can't just, it's funny, no?
That's exactly. Oh, you don't say that to your teacher. You take bathroom breaks every 5 minutes at school?
So do they send a lesson plan or do you just kind of have to make it up as you go along?
Araya's school, they send us, they email us the weekly schedule, and she has a daily Zoom with her teacher for 1 hour, and they go over one section of the schoolwork, and then the rest of the schoolwork she has to get done throughout the day.
And yeah, you were going to come on a few minutes ago, but USADA came today. I guess they just show up whenever they want to. Do you, even though you know you're living a clean life, is there always like a little like, because you never, God forbid, you've taken something that got tainted in the factory. Like, is it a nerve-wracking experience every time they show up?
No, you know, it's a part of the gig. I understand. I'm a clean athlete. I have nothing to hide. So, you know, they come in. The only time I stress out is like if I this might be a little bit too much information, but if I haven't gone like number 2 and they have to come in the bathroom with me, like
that's rough. That's uncomfortable.
Oh, wait. So what do you do? Do you go, hey, look, do you warn them or do you do half of what you have to do until they leave?
No, you can't control your bowels. You know, if it comes out, it comes out. But I remember one time telling them like, yo, like, I think I have to do number 2. And they're like, well, we have to be in here with you. And I was like, are you serious?
Jimmy's next question is going to be, how can he get tested by USADA?
No, that's not right.
Because he likes, I mean.
I like an audience.
I don't know.
What you want to do is you ought to wait until they show up before you do that, just to make their jobs a little harder, just so they won't enjoy coming to see you. They'll be like, Michelle, like, no, let's get her next week. They'll try to avoid it. You won't have to deal with them as much. I heard the first thing in the morning is when it sucks. Like if they come at like 6, what's the earliest they can come?
I think 5 or 6, but yeah, they came in. I just woke up, which was actually perfect timing, because you know when you wake up you have to go to the restroom. So I was able to hurry up and try to get it done as smoothly as possible. But even the USADA guys are like having to take extra precautions coming in, wearing masks, making me be a lot more diligent with my hand washing, sterilizing, like all the things that they're passing back and forth to me. Like it's everybody's, you know, it's a different world.
Just being careful. And I guess you get used to the invasiveness of it. Like you said, it's just part of the job.
Part of the job. Yeah.
I'm sure. How often do they come?
The last time they came was probably 4 weeks out before I was supposed to fight in April. So it depends. Sometimes they come, you know, every 2-3 months. Sometimes I've gotten revisited within 2 weeks before.
Oh, wow. So whenever they just kind of feel like it, they can make it as random as they want.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And how many of them show up? Is it usually two?
It has to be two with the females, because the guys can't come into the bathroom with you. So it's usually two, a guy and a girl.
Oh, and he'll stay outside, and she'll go in and make sure everything is, you know, because it's amazing when you look at like guys in prison who have gotten popped with drugs, and when they have to go like in front of their parole officer, like the amount of tricks people have come up with to fool urine checks, like for when they're doing drugs, they'll have fake body parts, and they'll have it's crazy how far people have gotten to fool these things too.
I'm not that savvy. I remember trying to get into a club before I was 21 and like ratting myself out. Like I'm the worst.
You panic.
Michelle, how frustrating is it to know, cause just, you know, you're so great with your striking, to know that someone just is looking just to put you down. Not that Carla doesn't have any power, have any stand up, but we know where she wants to fight. Sometimes when you're fighting somebody that just wants to put you to the floor, it gets you a little gun shy to really pull that trigger. Because knowing one wrong, you know, strike leads to a takedown, then you got to fight off your back. Is it frustrating fighting a fighter like that?
I'm actually looking forward to it. I think, and maybe it's because I haven't had a submission in a while, but majority of my fight, my wins in my fight career have been by submission. So if she puts me on my back, I'm comfortable there. I'll pop off submissions. And if the submission doesn't pop off, it's going to open up a scramble, allow me to get back up to my feet, allow me to change position to get on top. So wherever the fight goes, I'm comfortable. And I think that's kind of like the funny part, is everybody's saying that, you know, am I worried about her wrestling? I have really good wrestling offense. I have really good wrestling defense. But if the fight should happen to hit the ground and I'm on my back, I'm really good off my back.
And you were originally supposed to – sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, we don't see you on your back too often. That's the thing. So, you know, you go from fighting Joanna, who's a totally different fighter. She fights to keep the fight standing up. She rarely goes for a takedown. To fighting Carla, it's just such a different style, so –
it is a different style, and Joanna is very long and rangy, and she likes to pop in and out. You know, Carla likes to push forward with pressure, try to take you to the cage, try to take you down. I'm looking forward to the matchup.
How long before did you realize this is not going to happen? Did you kind of sense earlier that like they're going to cancel this event, or did you have your are you a kind of a positive person? You kept your hopes up till the last minute.
You know, I kind of was just really rolling with the punches at that point. You know, when we got switched, everything kind of got jumbled in the air. It got switched to Vegas, and then the Vegas commission got pulled, and then Fight Island was, you know, in the talks, and then the fight between Khabib and Ferguson got, you know, canceled, and so everything was in the air. But one thing I know is that when Dana puts his mind to something and he says he's going to do it, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't, if he said it was going to happen, it was going to happen. So I kept training. That's all I did. That's all I focused on.
And Fight Island, have you heard when they might, or when they might be? I keep hearing now it's a month from now. I mean, they're getting there on it. Have you heard any progress reports?
From what I hear, it's going to be up and ready to go in June.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Speaking of Fight Island, I'm sorry. This is really important. Michelle, did you hear Brett Okamoto's song, Fight Island?
No.
Oh, then you haven't lived. You have to hear it. You have to, Jimmy, am I overhyping it?
Well, Matt, I'll put it this way. Matt's favorite musical artist is Tyron Woodley, and his second favorite is Brett Okamoto. So he really is all in when it comes to UFC and MMA people.
All right. You have to send me the link. I'll probably jam to it all week.
Let me tell you, he's a gifted man, Brett Okamoto. He's got a banjo. Not a banjo. What do you have, a little guitar? He's sitting in these mic. I don't know. It's hysterical.
I think it was a banjo.
And T Wood and T Wood, I just go by his rap. Yeah. Oh, he, let me tell you something. I like his songs.
Yeah.
I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to get hyped up, you know, it's fight week. Just put on, you know, his songs. I'll beat your ass. And the other one that didn't make a song. Yeah, she knows, Jimmy.
She does. Yeah, that was a very big song. I mean, that was a pretty big song. Hey, did you watch Joanna against Wiley? What did you think of that fight? I thought Joanna eked it out. Like, I thought that she probably should have got the nod.
I did too, but you know, I'm not complaining how it could have gone one way or the other.
Yeah.
In my opinion, both ladies walked away with the win that night. You know, I tuned in as a student trying to scout them out and watch them, and I left as a fan. It was just so entertaining, and I was really proud to be a part of the strawweight division at that point, because these ladies, you know, anytime one lady leveled it up, the other girl matched her, and they just kept going bop, 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 bop. It was just so much fun to watch, and these ladies are so technical in every aspect, and not only were they technical, but they were really aggressive, and they were just, you know, taking shots and giving them right back, and it was just so amazing to watch.
I wonder how much Joanna's head, that because it blew up like that, how much that impacted the fight, or if it did at all, you know? Because I think that happened for one strike, and then obviously it's going to get worse. But, you know, if that wasn't there, maybe God, it was a cut. You know, I don't know. I mean, it was so close. And
do you mean the judges, Matt? Like, how?
Yeah,
much
I'm sorry. Yes, I missed the judges. Yeah. Obviously, yes.
I agree. Yeah. You know, and that's the unfortunate thing is that I did eke it out to Joanna. I thought Joanna, you know, pulled it off, but the damage was just so horrendous that I think, you know, it could have swayed the judges in that way. But you got to think about Joanna is always like, you know, had been susceptible to those hematomas on her forehead. You know, one time it was on this side, the other time it was on this side, one time it's on this side, and inevitably, you know, it was going to build up that way. And it's just, you know, that's just the time that she spent in the cage all these years. That it's just over the years, the amount of damage she's taken, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and it is amazing too, because she's had a couple losses. You know, she was at one point 12-0, I think, undefeated, and for her to fight that well against Zhang, I felt bad for her. Like, I kind of wanted to see her get it, because I was like, I thought that she would. I think I had Wiley Zhang picked in the fourth round. I didn't think that Joanna would get into the fifth round. So the fact that she lost the fight that she probably should have won is heartbreaking.
What am I looking at? Oh, you have one cat? What's the name here? What is this?
This is Buddy.
Buddy!
This is Buddy.
That is so awesome.
And your dog, too. You have a dog, right?
We got two dogs. We got a Great Dane and a Doberman.
Oh, wow.
Wait, sorry, Matt. What was the dog? I was watching a YouTube video of you showing somebody who was talking about shadow boxing and striking, aiming for the target and not... You, as opposed to calling out, you were talking about calling out, I guess, the target or something. And there was a dog in that video. That's not your dog?
No, that one wasn't my dog. That was actually a friend of mine. Shane Fazen. He has like a really, really great YouTube channel that is like a technique based for different fights. And he came down. He was kind of doing like a road trip, and he came down and stopped by my home gym, and we worked out together.
Is that in your garage?
Yeah. Well, it's a home gym. We have our garage, but when we bought this house, that was one of the saving graces for this entire camp, really, is, you know, the idea behind having a home gym really stemmed from, you know, having a daughter and wanting to be able to be home with her, in the evenings and not have to continually travel for training in the evenings. So we built this home gym, and it's been really helpful during this quarantine, because you know the big gyms are all closed down, so I'm having to have all my coaches come down and work with me here.
And you always got your hubby to hold for you and whatnot. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Right?
And he's definitely taken a huge part in my camps these last couple of fights, and more and more so. He has an amazing pedigree in boxing. He fought for the Air Force team. He had a short career as a professional boxer, and probably within these last 2 years has been doing jiu-jitsu. So he's working on his gi.
Ah, awesome. Yeah,
he's working his gi, so now we can roll together if we need to get some stuff done. And you know, Coach Izzy came down for a good amount of my fight camp to work the wrestling, and you know, him and Coach Izzy been working really close together. So now Josh is getting a better understanding of the wrestling. So he's really taken a huge part of the fight camp.
And what exactly were you showing him in that video about the target? Can you explain what that was? Because I watched it in kind of a clip. So it was right before we started today. I was looking over. Yeah. What exactly were you showing him?
Talking about trying to change up the mentality of I think that sometimes when you begin to learn any type of martial arts, you learn it analytically, like systematically, right? So you break it down: jab, cross, hook, uppercut, and these are things that you have to learn because they're all the basics. But once you understand the basics, it's important to kind of broaden your horizon and open up your mind to allow your creative mind to start working. And when you talk to any athlete or they'll tell you that when they're in the zone, they're just flowing. They're not thinking. And if you have to think about what you're doing, you're a split second too late. So the drill that we went over is, instead of thinking jab, cross, hook, you call out a target. And so I'll say nose. And you throw whatever you can to that target, the nose, whether it's a jab, a cross, a front kick, a side kick, and that allows your creative mind to be utilized. And so you're interlacing targets with all the tools that you have instead of limiting yourself to one tool.
So what happens as opposed to calling out like a hook or a jab, is does your mind have to take an extra step and picture where you're throwing when you yell out the target?
You're just allowing your mind to be more creative. You're just giving your mind more freedom to be creative.
So if I was fighting Jimmy and you yell throat,
yep,
I could kick his throat. I could punch him right in the Adam's apple.
No, she'd have to yell back of head because I would be running. I would be going in the other direction. So she would have to yell back of head. Back of heels.
Hey, well, you guys have amazing. Those are amazing targets, honestly, though, because that's what we talk about. We talk about aiming for the throat a lot, because a lot of times when you throw to the face, you miss because people duck, and then you end up hitting the forehead and breaking your hand. So you aim for the throat so that you hit him in the nose, and then you also want to follow through with your punches. So you say back of the head because you don't want to hit him here. You want to hit him back here to follow through.
Yeah, and then the guy slips, and the ref hears you yelling back in the head. You hit the back of the head. You go, you dirty bastards! No, I'm only kidding. It's funny. I mean, not that he's my buddy, but if you watch the famous fight with Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva, Ray Longo's famous quote, "What do you say? Punch a effing hole in his chest." I clean it up because Michelle's on the show.
Yeah,
but you know, he told him though, punch a effing hole in his chest, and he wanted him in the head, but he wanted, you know, because Anderson moves around so much. Yeah. He wanted to aim for that chest, so.
He pulled and he dips, but if you aim right here, you're going to land something, and you're going to disrupt their body.
Up the common. We need help in the common core. What's going on? Hi, honey.
Give me a second, baby. I'll help you in just a second.
She's looking like, who are these two weirdos? Why is mom talking to these weirdos, these bald weirdos?
Well, I'm okay. Okay.
Yeah, let's let him go, Jimmy.
All right, Michelle. Listen, good luck. I think am I correct in saying she's 7 and you're 8? I mean, not that it. I mean, it's a very you guys are very close in the rankings, you and Carlos. So this obviously it's a big fight for both of you, and the division is incredible right now, especially with Rose not being able to or stepping out because she had a couple of personal deaths in the family. So you know, things are going to get very interesting probably after this weekend.
It's amazing.
Really up in the air. I think about like even Nina, and I think she's pregnant, right? Her and Amanda are having a baby.
Wow.
And then Tatiana being out with the injury, and those two ladies are like have those top spots secured, and so I'm kind of curious to see if those are going to clear up as well. But for sure, anytime I take a fight, you know, the objective is how can I get closer to fighting for the belt.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I mean, you're on a great card. I can't remember the last time I was so psyched about a card as I am this weekend, because it's been so long since we've had new fights to watch. So good luck and enjoy yourself.
Thanks. Tell Josh I said hi.
Of course. It's always so good to see you guys. Always put a smile on my face.
All right. Bye, Michelle. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
She's so sweet. She's very positive.
Her kid kept looking like, who are these? What are these creeps?
Listen, man, I know how that is.
We don't look good on camera.
My wife knows how that is.
We don't look good on camera. That's how you
speak
know.
To yourself. I'm sorry, Jimmy. I don't look good. Friend, I look like an ogre.
What's that?
I look like an ogre. I know.
No, I mean, you know. Neither one of us.
I get my beard back.
She looked like she couldn't get over that her mom was communicating with such animals.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, let's get cracking, man. Dana, how awesome is it to say it's fight week? I'm fucking psyched, man.
Yeah,
I'm psyched.
I've been pumped up all weekend for this. So, yeah, it's good to be back. I'm excited. And, you know, I can't wait to get to Florida.
When did you find out that Florida was actually the place? Like, was there speculation at first? When did you get a concrete, like, okay, we can go ahead with this?
There's a ton of places we could go right now. There's a ton of places we could go. Florida is the one that just made the most sense because I feel like they were the most aggressive. We got the governor. We got the mayor, we got the athletic commission, and they're, you know, the city of Jacksonville is pumped that we're coming there. So, you know, they're going to be the first spot we hit. We're back. May 9th. We go next Saturday. We're back. That's it. We're back on our regular schedule.
So you actually have the schedule now is getting is back to almost a weekly thing.
Exactly. And then, you know, we're going to bang out 4 fights in 2 weeks. So we'll be really close to caught up with our schedule and getting guys fights.
Normally, when there's a card, there's always a few fights that I'm really looking forward to. When I'm looking at the fight card, and there's not one fight that I don't want to take a bathroom break. When I look, even the early prelims, when there's fights like with Bryce Mitchell versus Charles Rosa,
yeah,
and then there's Vicente Luque versus Nico Price on the early prelims, yeah. I mean, usually those are cool, but there's somebody maybe breaking into the scene, getting their feet wet in the UFC. From the early prelims on, it's amazing. Was it harder to put this fight together during a quarantine, or was it not that hard because nobody's got anything going on? There's no vacations planned and whatnot.
No, I wouldn't say it's harder or easier than any other time. The hardest part of this thing was obviously the logistics, getting this thing, you know, the first fight that we had that was going to happen on the Indian reservation in California. That was crazy. That was the craziest. I don't know. I mean, even back to the old days, I don't know if there's been, literally, we'd work all day, get shit done. We'd be like, all right, good for us. We'd go to bed, wake up the next day, and the whole fucking world was changed the next day. And we had to start all over again.
Have you ever worked harder for anything than kind of getting this whole thing going again? I mean, it just seems like it was constantly like possibly, and then they would take it away, and then possibly, and then take it away. Is this the hardest you've ever had to put anything together?
It's just different. I would say in the earlier days when we were trying to get this thing accepted and you know, build this business, you know, we'd fly all over the country. I mean, there were days back in the old days where I had a day where I woke up in Atlanta, spent the afternoon in Boston and went to bed in Chicago. So we had days like that in the old days, but different type of work and a different type of, of energy going into this quarantine thing and trying to put on an event.
Now, I'm sorry, Jimmy, but with things opening up again now, like you're doing this one in Florida on Saturday, May 9th, is Fight Island still going on? Because, listen, I love the Brett Okamoto song, and it got me fucking pumped up. And now, if anything, we have that. But is it going to still happen? Do we need it? What's going on with that?
Yeah. So, listen, we talk about opening up. I don't know exactly what that even means. Some places, I mean, you listen to our governor talk about it, and it's very hard to understand what the plan is. And I know that some places are going to be different than others. I think it's going to be a long time before what we used to consider normal becomes normal again. And I can tell you the hardest part is going to be getting people in from other countries.
Right.
So that's what Fight Island is really for. It's one of the things that we saw early and we said, this is going to be a problem. I mean, even when everything was normal and we run the UFC, we'd run into visa issues and things like that all the time. So you can imagine what it's going to be like now.
So what's the problem, Dave? Is that the embassies are closed?
Right. Yeah. Right now, the problem is that they're closed. Then when they open up, imagine how backed up they're going to be. And it's going to be a shit show for a very long time. So we saw that coming. And that was what Fight Island was designed to do. Because if we only put on fights in the U.S., we'll smoke this entire American roster in no time.
Right.
We're a global business. We need to put fights on all over the world. So these fights that would have happened, you know, what do we got coming? We had Brazil. We got fucking Perth. You know, we have Kazakhstan. You know, all these other places that we were going to do fights this year will probably end up at Fight Island.
And it's because the backup, they have any idea? Is it going to be like, do you think a 5-month delay or is there really no clue?
No clue. Listen, any question you ask me about my business 3 months ago, I can answer. I have no fucking idea now, man. We're just, you know, and I don't like that feeling and I don't like being in that situation. So one of the things that we always do is we figure out how do we get this business up and running, you know, so that nothing bad can happen. And Fight Island will answer all of our international problems. And we've already got a lot of good options here in the United States for U.S. fights. So we're good.
Now, Fight Island, is the actual octagon going to be indoors or outdoors on Fight Island? I've heard rumors of both.
It'll be indoors. But there will be an octagon on the beach where people can train.
Oh, okay, but not for the actual fights. That was what I heard. I'm like, that didn't sound like...
Yeah, no. I don't love outside fights.
How hard has this been for you personally? I mean, because you're a guy, you know, again, like you like to control what's going on and you always know what's going on. And how difficult is this to be running around literally just kind of at the mercy of a system that you can't... There's nothing you can do.
I don't know. It's actually... I know this sounds sick and twisted, but I've actually had some fun through this whole thing personally and... You know, professionally, this has been different too. And I don't want to sound like, you know, oh, it's been, you know, everything. This thing runs pretty smoothly. We got a pretty smooth operation here. We got a lot of good people that work here, know what they're doing. And, you know, it was kind of fun to mix it up a little bit and hit some bumpy roads and some challenges. I love chaos.
Has there ever been a more satisfying thing than this one finally getting put together?
No, it's pretty good. This feels pretty good. Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of fun milestones and a lot of things that we've accomplished, and this is another one that we can put in the books after Saturday.
Hey, did you clock in? During quarantine, you've done some stuff you haven't did with your family since they were kids.
Yeah,
I can relate to that. Like, right? I mean, is that one good thing about it? I've been with you. You're home. Me, it's nothing but it's bike rides and Uno games every night with me and my family. Is that what you're doing? Are you doing some stuff like you used to do?
So my older son is supposed to report to USD football on 4th of July, which obviously isn't happening now. It's his senior year. He'd be out freaking blowing his brains out right now, bouncing all over the place, parties and all this stuff. And none of that stuff's going on. So he's home all day, every day, working out like a savage right now. football. And my daughter and I have been going on bike rides, and you know, it's been fun, man. I've had a really good time during this quarantine with my family. It's been awesome.
So, and how do you think other sports have handled this too? Because you guys have, I think, been the best at getting things ready to go. And then you get dopes like Bob Arum saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing it, but he's just jealous that he can't put it together. I firmly believe that he's just upset that it's not him getting things moving.
Listen, I think by now everybody realizes that Bob Arum's a dickhead. And, you know, this guy's been talking shit about the UFC and me for 20 years. He's fucking bankrupt, this guy. He's bankrupt. Of course you don't want to put fights on. You can't afford to put any fights on, you fucking jack off. You've been in this thing your whole life and completely destroyed the business and the sport. Congratulations, Bob Arum. You're brilliant.
A fight I'm looking forward to that I was just looking into. Henry Cejudo, we were talking about, you guys are talking about getting Jose Aldo for a long time. You know, shit happens. Dominic Cruz, I think that's a fantastic fight. In the past, you said you believe in ring rust. Mm-hmm. Dominic Cruz, back in, a few years back, he had a 3-year layoff. He came back in a minute to take out the number five ranked Muzaki in just a minute. And that was after a 3-year layoff. So he doesn't believe in ring rust.
Right.
I'm excited about him and Henry. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I literally just said in an interview last week, I was talking about him, and I did say that too. I go, I believe in ring rust, and, you know, when you take time off, but it's worked well for Dominic Cruz. But on the flip side, Dominic Cruz, I've never seen an unluckier fighter in my life. I mean, this guy gets hurt every single time he trains for a fight, and it was one of the problems in making this fight. Henry Cejudo's like, I'm going to do everything I can to train during quarantine, and I know this guy's going to get hurt and pull out of the fight, you know? So it was one of the concerns for Henry Cejudo going into this fight. But as long as we get there, Dominic gets there healthy, it should be a great fight.
And there's been rumors about also Woodley headlining on the 23rd. And Gilbert Burns, his name has been thrown around. Is there a concrete opponent for him?
Yeah, of course, Sean Shelby literally just walked out of the room right now. So before I came into this interview, I got a text from Woodley that said, I'm looking for Sean. I want to sign this contract right now. I want this fight on the 23rd. So that's what Woodley just told me before I started this interview. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, okay. And has there been a rumored opponent or no?
Yeah, Burns is the opponent we're looking
at. Oh, it is Burns. Oh, good. Okay, good. That's a great fight. What about Leon Edwards? Great. Does he have anything lined up? I mean, because, again, he was supposed to fight him, and we love Leon Edwards. And, you know, there's so many good fighters that he's a guy I think that a lot of times will get overlooked by the public because he's not like a loud or brash guy, but he's one of the best guys in that division.
He's awesome, and that's the guy that was supposed to be fighting Woodley.
Yeah.
That fight was supposed to happen in London. So as soon as we get Fight Island up and running, you got to imagine that Edwards will be one of the first guys fighting out there.
And the fact that you made as much as we want Habib to fight Ferguson, when you put Gaethje and him together, that's almost a fight I'm looking forward to if not more than against Habib. I mean, that is an incredible, incredible fight. And now that Justin has had almost a full camp, it feels like this could not have worked out better if Habib can't fight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Listen, the fight that everybody wants to see is Tony versus Habib, right? If you can't make that fight, right, this is the best fight you could possibly make. This fight is going to be so fucking violent. It's going to be crazy. I mean, if this thing goes longer than, you know, anything can happen when you get two guys like this. And if somebody doesn't get knocked out quickly in this fight is going to be fucking insane. Now, when you're a promoter, you can't go out and say, oh, this is going to be the best fight ever, and this fight's going to deliver, and if you put your money down, you're going to get your fucking money's worth in this fight. You can't say that. I guarantee you, I promise you, it's impossible for this main event to not be fucking ridiculous.
You know, Justin Gaethje, too, he's never an easy fight, but he's a really dangerous guy, and because nobody wants any part of fighting him. It's almost like he doesn't have the name recognition of a Conor or a Ferguson, and he's such a dangerous fighter that everybody, I think, is a little hesitant to fight him. So he's, I think, a tremendously dangerous guy right now for Ferguson to have to face.
You have a fight with two guys that are in their prime, right? One guy hasn't lost a fight in 8 years. The other guy has fought 6 times in the UFC and got 7 UFC post-fight bonuses.
See, the difference with this fight and his other fights that we talked about in the past that didn't deliver, that were like, oh, this has to, is the mentality of both these guys, of Ferguson and Gaethje. Gaethje's going in knowing it's a – hey, man, he's content with just if I take him out, great. If I try, he takes me out, hey, man. He's good with that. You know, it's the guys who are afraid to lose. That's when you get the boring shit. And Ferguson's a maniac. So, you know, he's going forward.
Matt's so right about that, too. And you get two guys that get in there with so much on the line, and they're like, all I have to do is win this fight, and then I get the Khabib fight. Not the way that these two are going to think. From the minute that fucking bell rings, you are going to see nothing but absolute violence from both of these guys. And they're both capable of so talented and capable.
Yeah, and the fact that you have Pettis and Cerrone as a prelim, like, that's how good this card is, that's the main event of the prelims. I think Jacare and Uriah Hall is the first fight of the prelim. I mean, it's crazy how deep this card goes. And I love that Ngannou and Rozenstruik is the third fight up. That's
so fucking good. We didn't even talk about that fucking fight yet, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's an incredible card. Calvin Kattar and Jeremy Stephens.
About to say that, dude. Yeah. I had my finger on it so I wouldn't forget. Yes. That's like two old gunslingers, man. Those guys. Any one of these fights could headline a card, man. I'm super excited. You know what it is? I think we were spoiled because there was so many coming at us. Oh, there's another fight this weekend. Oh, there's another one. We haven't had it. We're dying for it. What about you think getting some new fans after on May 9th? Guys, because there's nothing else out there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I hope that's the case. I hope that, you know, because there have been no live sports, people are going to tune in. It's funny? You know, everybody's binge watching all kinds of different TV shows and all this other stuff. It's a very weird world without live sports. I mean, even if you're not a huge fan of different type like basketball or all this other stuff, when the games are on, you're interested in seeing some of it and knowing who won or whatever it might be. It's a very, very weird world without sports. I don't like it.
I don't either, but I'm telling you, this is a match. A lot of people are going to watch this because it's a live event, and people who maybe have not watched the UFC, I can't think of a better card to break people in on. You have two great heavyweight fights. I love Greg Hardy against DeCastro. I love that as the opening fight of the main card. And Ngannou, Rozenstruik. I felt bad for Overeem in that last fight against Rozenstruik. I thought that was like a really rough way for it to end. But, I mean, at 10-0, he looks incredible. And Ngannou on 3 straight wins. What is the implications of that fight? Let's just say Francis does win that fight. If he wins, is he next in line for a shot?
100%. I mean, next in line right now, we got Cormier waiting for Stipe to come back. Right. We'll see. What I saw a quote from Stipe recently where Stipe said, you know, there's bigger things going on in the world right now. Fighting will be there forever. It's not true. Fighting will not be here forever. I mean, when you're a professional athlete, your window of opportunity is very, very small. So hopefully we can get Stipe back in there soon with Cormier and get the heavyweight division rolling.
Yeah, I'm also, it's funny, this card, you know, Bryce Mitchell against Charles Rosa is a great fight on the early prelims. And the Luque Nico Price rematch, this from top to bottom is great. And there's another one I'm looking forward to, and I think that's Alexander Hernandez against Drew Dober. And that is on the, is that the Anthony Smith card or is that on the Overeem card? I don't remember. But, I mean, that's another great fight. Like, every single card has all these months of fights backed up. It's incredible. Every card looks great.
Thank you. And obviously, once we get back on track here and start doing some international fights, I mean, cards are going to be absolutely stacked like this for a while.
You know, it's funny. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, it's funny. I'm not even thinking that these are not international fights. And you're correct. There's so many guys who are not included. But you know, the weird thing is I told Matt earlier, I've never looked forward to a Monday before, but this is fight week now. It's the first time in over a month we've had fight week to look forward to. And I don't think I've ever looked forward to a card more than this one because of how long the layoff has been.
This is the first time in 2 months I'm actually going to know what each day is. I know that today is Monday and I will know tomorrow is Tuesday.
It's been Groundhog Day every day.
I actually might even put pants on this week, too.
No, I'm not going to. In tribute to the crisis, I'm going to leave them off as I did before the crisis. Now, and you, by the way, you're friends with the president, who you've known for a long time. When you guys were around each other, do you still think of him as the same guy you've known? Or is there that part of you that's like, I'm hanging out with the president. Does it change your dynamics at all?
It absolutely changes. Yeah. I mean, every time I think in the beginning, because there was one of the days that we were together and he wanted me to stop calling him Mr. President. And I said, that's not going to happen. It's a respect thing. Every time I call him now, it's Mr. President. So it's definitely different.
Yeah, it just changed. So do you sometimes send a text that if he doesn't get back to you, you're like, the president's not ignoring my...
Oh, you're too busy for me now?
Yeah, what do you do? You're changing, man.
Tell you what, I'm not even fucking joking. It's dead serious. This guy is such a good friend. There has not been a time where I've reached out to him that he hasn't gotten back to me. I can't express to you enough how good this guy is. What a solid, good guy he is.
And he was one of the earlier friends of the UFC too, right? Like, I mean, from booking fights, is it Trump Marina, if I remember correctly, in Atlantic City?
Trump Taj Mahal.
In AC?
Yep.
My first fight, UFC 31. And then he attended the Meadowlands just to watch in New Jersey, just as a fan. I remember.
First fight and stayed to the last fight, even after we left the Taj Mahal and went to the Meadowlands. And every good thing that has ever happened to me in my career, that guy was the first guy to reach out and say, I always knew you guys were going to do it. And, you know, and just a solid, good friend, man. And we've become even closer since he's become the president.
And I can't believe you're on a – and I texted you this too. You're the first friend I've ever had on a presidential commission. It's got nothing to do with me, but it still makes me feel important that I know somebody who's on a presidential commission.
I'm the first person I've ever known, too, to be on a presidential commission. So, yeah.
Well, look, man, I mean, I'm happy. I know Matt is thrilled. And this is the most I've been excited about a card probably since I've been a UFC fan, just because of the uncertainty. After the – what was it? April 18th was the one that got canceled? That was the last – since that one, you'll start to feel like life will never return to normal. Like, do you have any of that, like, where things are just never going to come back? It's like when there's a blackout, the lights will never come on again.
This has definitely been a weird one. And like I said, it's not over yet. We're not even close to this thing being over yet. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the next year. I'm hearing that other sports are talking about not even coming back yet. They're going to wait till 2021. I mean, if that happens, that's crazy.
And by the way, for anyone who's critical of this, you gave the fighters the option. Like, anybody who doesn't feel comfortable, is it's okay for you not to fight. You've given that option to the fighters.
Fighters don't have to fight. My employees don't have to work. You know, it's all people who want to be here and want to do it.
Yeah, who feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And there's also a rumor about Dana White looking for a fight on Fight Island to kick that thing off. I don't know. It's a rumor.
It's happening. That is true.
See, that's Jimmy. You see what we do? All right, listen, Dana, I know you don't like TV. Are you streaming anything right now because there's no sports on?
No, I don't. I'm not a big TV show guy.
You don't like anything, Jimmy.
I can't get into any of that stuff.
Your life is more interesting than most TV shows. I mean, what are they going to show that's more interesting than what you're doing?
I keep hearing about Ozark. People keep talking about Ozark. Everybody's talking about that one right now. I tried to watch The Tiger King. And I watched, so I don't Netflix or any of that shit. So I turn it on and it ends and I'm like, wait a minute, there's fucking more than one of these. I got to watch more than one of this stupid shit. So I watched number one and number eight.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
He doesn't like to watch any shows.
Bunch of fucking goofballs, man. It's like, there's no way I'm watching fucking eight episodes of this shit.
When you're watching, does your mind go like, I could be doing something right now? I should be working.
100%. Yes, exactly what I do. Every time I'm watching some fucking stupid TV show, I'm like, I could literally be doing something right now other than this.
Well, that's why the UFC is where it is, and that's why we have fights despite all this craziness. That's why we have Fight Island. That's why we have fights coming up this Saturday. So, I mean, look, we know you're busy today. We're just happy we got to talk to you for a little bit. And congratulations on navigating this, because, you know, this was a nightmare for everybody, and it looks like the UFC is doing the right thing.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Dana. Thanks, man.
Bug you for tickets again as soon as things are back to normal. So talk to you soon.
I got plenty of tickets available.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Dana.
Later.
Hey, Matt.
Later, brother.
Matt, I'll talk to you later.
Jimmy, I think that was great. That was we had a nice talk. And I am super psyched for this weekend.
Yeah, me too, man.
And I'm super psyched for Wednesday. You know why? Because it's more of this.
That's right.
You know, it's funny. I've been hearing about that Ozark show too. I might have to give it another chance. You know,
it's okay. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Is it I like Breaking Bad back in the day?
I like Breaking Bad.
It's not as good as that.
No, it's not as good as Breaking Bad.
Like Game of Thrones? Nothing like
not
that.
Not nearly as good as Game of Thrones. No, no.
Different thing. There's no dragons in Ozark.
No, there's not.
You know? I told you, I can't get past the first episode. Jason Bateman being a cuck looking on the iPad. I can't get past that shit. Yeah. It's rough. I'm going to be rooting for that lady later? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
No. How about no? You will. I'll think about the guy that fell out the window that was doing that to her.
Okay.
All right, Jimmy, listen, man. I love you, buddy. I can't wait to talk. I'll talk to you in 2 days.
I'm really psyched, and I'm glad everything is happening. I really meant it. I've not looked forward to a card this much in my life. So I'm really happy that it's happening. I'll talk to you in 2 days.
All right, Jimmy.
Be good, buddy. Pal. Bye, man.
Bye, everyone.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.